This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. This show normally goes out to what is largely a commuting audience. I think most radios that listen to KDVS at 5 o'clock on Thursdays are generally people who are getting off work, driving across the causeway, returning home after a well-deserved number of hours at the job. But today, any of you listening are probably not sitting around the table at a Thanksgiving feast with people talking and football on the air. No, you are more likely, if you are listening to this voice, manning some station, doing your duty somewhere, because as we don't always think about, not everybody gets the holidays off. Someone has to man the station. Someone has to be on the job, whether it's the police force, in the fire departments of America, in hospitals. Doctors and nurses have to remain on duty because, let's face it, care for people who are ill is a 24/7 operation. So perhaps this is your lot today. And well, God bless you for being there on the job for us all. We'd like to make today's show a bit of a lighthearted affair for you because it is, after all, a holiday. And you may be a little bit remorseful about the fact that you can't be having a better time as you do your duty, but we salute you for it. Let's start out light here, like I said. Dave Barry has been one of our favorites here on this program. We reported to you last September about going to visit Mr. Barry over in his speech in Santa Rosa, at which time he did actually personally give me permission in his own way to go ahead and read from his columns on this program. At least he said, I don't care if we did. I'd like to excerpt for you 16 Things That Took Me 50 Years to Learn by Dave Barry. We'll excerpt a few of those for you on this Thanksgiving holiday. Number one, people who want to share their religious views with you almost never want you to share yours with them. Two, you should never say anything to a woman that even remotely suggests you think she's pregnant unless you can see an actual baby emerging from her at that moment. Three, these are my numbering system. Three, if you had to identify in one word the reason why the human race has not achieved and never will achieve its full potential, that word would be meetings. Let's see, four. There's a fine line between hobby and mental illness. Five. If there really is a God who created this entire universe with all of its glories, and he decides to deliver a message to humanity, he will not use as his messenger a person on cable TV with a bad hairstyle. Six. A person who is nice to you but rude to the waiter is not a nice person. Seven, no matter what happens, somebody will find a way to take it too seriously. Eight, your friends love you anyway. Nine, nobody cares if you can't dance well, just get up and dance. And 10, out of the 16 things that took me 15 years to learn, the ones I like. Number 10 on Dave Barry's list, you should not confuse your career with your life. This program is going to rely on some encore performances, some earlier programming that we enjoyed. Our second segment today will be a reprise of Dr. Andy Jones' contribution when he joined us to talk about Philo T. Farnsworth, the interesting story about the man who was really the true inventor of electronic television. And in our third segment, we will bring back Dr. Sean O'Neill, who talked to us about sleep, something we all do, but which is not very well understood. What I thought we might do today on this Thanksgiving is review some interesting history, the myths, and folklore that surrounds this holiday, and see if we can't clear up a few of these issues. We generally think of Thanksgiving as being celebrated by pilgrims, guys who in pictures appear to be wearing a very strange black and white outfits with stovepipe type hats, belt buckles on their shoes, looking like a rather grim bunch. out there having a feast of celebration with Indian tribes in Massachusetts in 1621. Well, it turns out that that this is really not the true story. According to what I've been able to pull off the web, Thanksgiving Day dates back to 1789, when George Washington declared Thursday, November 26th, as a day when, quote, "we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks." Now, there was no national agreement on a day for the event. Prior to that, apparently Thanksgiving Day had been by congressional mandate celebrated in December. Now, this whole thing about the pilgrims and the people in Massachusetts really came about in the 1800s. As far as we can tell, the actual description of the 1621 feast had been lost for a couple centuries until a group of memoirs, including a description by Edward Winslow, who was one of Plymouth Colony's leaders, was rediscovered sometime in the 1820s. Now, the term pilgrims was a somewhat romantic label that was slapped upon these folks in Massachusetts Colony. They technically, these people that came over on the Mayflower, technically separatists. They were related to the Puritans in England, who had a rather a stern view on how the Christian religion should be practiced. They were all part, really, of John Calvin and the Protestant movement that wanted to separate Christian worship from what had been the traditions of the Catholic Church. And really, it all goes back to Henry VIII and his break with the Catholic religion over the fact that he couldn't get a divorce regarding Catherine of Aragon, at which point he decided to break the British Catholic Church basically off from Rome, which later became the Anglican and, in America, the Episcopalian churches. The people that came over on the Mayflower and celebrated in 1621 were technically separatists, not quite extreme in their puritanical beliefs regarding social customs. The Puritans started coming to America a little bit later in 1629. Now, you students of history may note that England actually had a civil war in the 1600s, and the leader who wound up basically deposing and later executing King Charles I was a Puritan leader, Oliver Cromwell. And that's actually a subject that's so interesting in its own right. We're planning to do a segment on that sometime in the months to come, because it was very important in what happened in America in terms of influencing the form of government that we have here. And yet, I think most Americans really don't come into considering things history till about 1776. But back in 1621, the reason that these separatists had something to celebrate was the fact that Squanto, a member of the Wampanoag tribe, had taught the pilgrims how to plant corn and fertilizer, which was a darn good thing because the barley, wheat, and pea crops that the pilgrims had brought with them from England all had failed. But the corn, having been grown in New England by the Indians for some time, did so well that they were able to prosper and later on basically become Boston and our New England states. Apparently, this issue of the pilgrims, quote-unquote, wearing this black and white clothes was based on paintings done many years later in the 1800s, really, that incorrectly had them attired thusly. They also would generally show the Indians dressed in a fashion that was based upon the Buffalo Bill Cody Wild West show, which was currently very popular in the country. So there are some inaccuracies in our paintings that represent the era. So in the middle of the 1800s, we had this tradition of a Thanksgiving that in 1841, a writer, Alexander Young, linked to that harvest celebration that took place back in 1621. A magazine editor at that time, Sarah Josepha Hale, conducted a letter-writing campaign calling for Thanksgiving to be declared a national holiday. President Lincoln responded to her and issued a Thanksgiving proclamation that set aside the last Thursday in November of 1863 for gratitude, and that we've had it ever since. In 1939, Franklin Roosevelt touched off a two-year squabble when he moved the holiday to the third Thursday to give store owners a leg up on the holiday shopping, but detractors dubbed that relocated holiday Franksgiving. In 1941, Congress made it back to the last Thursday where it's been ever since. But really, it took 320 years to make Thanksgiving stick. And by the way, I can't find any evidence that that these settlers back in the 1620s dined upon turkey. We just don't know. They may have. There certainly were wild turkeys in New England, but As far as I was able to tell, we just don't know about the Thanksgiving gobbler being present at the creation. Well, I got a couple more minutes left in this segment. And in addition to discussing America's holiday, actually, it's as far as I understand, Thanksgiving is celebrated in Canada, largely as a result of their proximity to the U.S. and in one other place on Earth. A great trivia question: that one other place is Norfolk Island off the coast of Australia, where apparently people there in part are descended from old whaling ship seamen. And when they settled in Norfolk Island, they brought along the American holiday of Thanksgiving. So if anyone's on the web listening to this program in Norfolk Island, happy Thanksgiving. Well, we got about a minute left, so I think I'm going to throw in some fractured English examples from around the world, signs that people collected that truly speak for themselves. From a Japanese hotel: you're invited to take advantage of the chambermaid. From a Swiss menu: our wines leave you with nothing to hope for. In Germany's Black Forest, from a campsite: it is strictly forbidden on our Black Forest camping site that people of different sex, for instance, men and women, live together in one tent unless they are married with each other for that purpose. I love that. For instance, men and women. In a Zurich hotel: because of the impropriety of entertaining guests of the opposite sex in the bedroom, it is suggested that the lobby be used for this purpose. Fractured English from a Copenhagen airline ticket office: we take your bags and send them in all directions. And my personal favorite, from a brochure of a Tokyo car rental firm: when a passenger of four heave in sight, tootle the horn. Trumpet him melodiously at first, but if he still obstacles your passage, then tootle him with vigor. Stay tuned for Dr. Andy Jones joining us in the second segment to discuss the inventor of electronic television, Dr. Philo T. Farnsworth. You're listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM.